AI.org. It is like 10 seconds before 5 o'clock. The program you just heard, Labrish with Haftar Selassie, will be back next week at 2, following the work of the Midnight Ravers. It is 5 a.m. and time for Back of the Book. Stay tuned.
Oh, and kisses. Hugs and kisses to Rebecca and Melanie, Maya and Zoe, and Eva, Greta, and Sadie.
Okay. And thank you. Back of the book right here, right now.
Hello, this is Radio's Uncle Sidney. When I'm out and about, folks comes up to me and says, "You should be ashamed." But when they calms down, they says how much they loves WBAI. That's WBAI New York and WBAI.org. Back in the day, we had commentaries by Malcolm X, Ayn Rand, Abby Hoffman, and William F. Buckley Jr. Imagine them folks in the same room at the same time. Nowadays, we've got Bob Fass, the founder of the Feast. Amy Goodman, you know her, we got her. Michio Kaku, the smartest guy in the world. Shows that helps you not to get evicted. Top of the line news and interviews. Insane artists and musicians. Well, okay, okay. We went nuts for a while back there. But now we're okay. We're like your crackhead cousin that's making good. So we know you're pulling for us. Go, go, run right now to WBAI.org and look around. See where we've gone. You can even subscribe online. Believe me, you'll be glad you did. Stay tuned.
Pretty sure it's a sweaty 5 o'clock in the morning right now, and you're listening to all The Ides of July Are Upon Us, Radio WBAI New York.
No, I know we're not in Kansas.
Well, good goddamn morning. How the hell are you? This is WBAI New York. The program is Back of the Book. My name is R. Paul Martin. She is Radio's Pickles of the North. Good morning, my dear.
Good morning to you, my dear, and a hearty hello to our dear 19 listeners, wherever they may be.
And we're going to talk about various things on this program, and you can find out a little bit more about them by going up to my website at glib.com, glib.com. And when you get there, you'll see a blue navigation frame in the left side of your screen. At the top, it will say latest Back of the Book program links. Click on that and you'll get to the web page for this morning's radio program. The WBAI website and archives seem to be working all right as we record this program. This is our 142nd pandemic episode of Back of the Book. It's pre-recorded. This program was recorded on Friday for airing on Saturday morning. So, if things have happened between then and when you're hearing this program, we won't be referencing them on this program. A recorded program can't be as up-to-date as a live program, but this is what we have to do in these dangerous times. I look forward to the day we don't have to recite that, and one day maybe we'll even be back here live.
Ooh!
The top story in several different multiverses over the past week is: we are holding at the gigantic total of 125 followers on Twitter. Meanwhile, Leon Scum is doing more stupid stuff with Twitter, trying to nickel and dime people and monetize something that he paid $44 billion for and which he's turning into garbage. Yeah, now WBAI's Twitter stuff no longer shows up on the front page of WBAI.org. Maybe you have to pay for that privilege now. I don't know. I'm not sure, but some people have brought that idea up. I suppose it could be a glitch of some sort, but maybe it's just that you're not allowed to do that anymore unless you pay him. That might be it. Phooey. because now and again a tweet of mine gets up there. But can't do that if the BAI tweets don't get there. The next WBAI local station board meeting will be a special one, held on Wednesday, July 26th, 2023 at 7 p.m. with the LSB and the general manager talking to each other about the current situation and how to increase audience and revenue in the short term. The next regular WBAI local station board meeting will be held on Wednesday, August 9th, 2023 at 7 p.m. on Zoom, even though Zoom compromises privacy and security. We had an LSB meeting this past Wednesday night. Besides passing that motion to talk with the general manager, who, by the way, is an ex officio member of the local station board and attends the meetings anyway, besides passing that motion, we also had a motion about something I've talked about on the air before. It's that allegation that the CIA has a website wherein they announce that the website is the CIA's, and then they name some people, including a number of producers who can be heard on WBAI, whom they say that they are going to assassinate. And the motion was for the WBAI LSB to, quote, resolution of the WBAI local station board opposing our government's chilling and attacks on free speech via the persecution and targeting of journalists, including WBAI's own, for assassination, unquote. I got to debate this motion, and rather than summarize what I said, I'll play the audio of it here.
When I saw this, I guess I saw this a month or 2 months ago, the first thing that occurred to me was, okay, so the super secret CIA, which keeps everything undercover, they have got a website where they say, hey, here's a list of people we're going to murder. American citizens we're going to murder on American soil. And I said, that doesn't seem like something a secretive organization would do. I really think that my first impression is this is crazy conspiracy nut stuff. And, you know, really, the CIA, if they were to do something like that, if they were to do a website like that, they would be in front of Congress like crazy. I mean, you see what's happening with the FBI director because he didn't crush Hunter Biden. Imagine what would happen with the CIA doing this kind of thing. Oh, good grief. So, I'm going to vote against this, and I don't think it would get us a lot of publicity, but if it did, it would get us some very negative publicity as a bunch of nutcases who don't look up what's going on and get really involved about very improbable things. So I'm voting against this. Thank you.
Yes, and there it is, as it happened, with all of the ums, uhs, false starts, stutters, and other fumferings that I managed to fit into that short period there. And that motion got tabled until the next meeting, and we'll keep you posted on what that July 26th special LSB meeting comes up with to solve all our problems. The CDC website isn't giving us a lot of up-to-date information about COVID-19 in America these days, although they are saying that total deaths in America from COVID-19 are at 1,134,710, which means that 410 people have died of COVID-19 since our last program 1 week ago. If that's true, then this is very good news because it would mean that there's been a significant decrease in the death rate this week. This may be related to their rather high count for the week before. The CDC says that there's been a downtick of 20% in COVID-19 deaths in the past week. The pandemic is not over, Pickles of the North and I are still keeping our masks on. We've both gotten our bivalent vaccinations and our bivalent booster shots. When the new boosters are put out in the autumn, I'm sure we'll get those as soon as we can. And we think that's a good idea.
You know, Arpal, one interesting thing that has happened during the pandemic has been wildlife in New York City, and specifically in Brooklyn, and more specifically, right near where we live. The red-tailed hawks have taken up residence. And all through the pandemic, I guess, I don't know if it's the same family or generations from the same family, they've been having babies. And these hawks seem to be very healthy, and they really enjoy landing on our fire escape and surveying what's around them and chasing squirrels. And one time we saw them, one of them catch a possum, which was yikes. Well, we have more of them landing on our fire escape. And one of them actually looked like it was really relaxing on the fire escape because it kind of was nestling down there. It was nested. And then it got up and it went on the railing and then it was joined by another hawk.
Yeah, this was on the upstairs fire escape from us. I think at some point we've had one hanging out on the railing of our fire escape.
Yes.
But this time, but that one's higher up. The one above us is obviously higher up. And I think they really prefer that one. And yeah, the thing was just sitting there and we were wondering if it was maybe hurt or sick or something, but it was just hanging out.
It was in the shade and it was just watching everything. And it saw us peeking at it and gave us the old hawk eye. We were too big. Too big. Not so tasty, I guess. The other day when I was at the laundromat, there were three hawks in the sky. And one of them seemed to have something in its talons. And it either was a snake or maybe part of an intestine. I'm not sure. But it was long. And another hawk came and went, boom, and tried to get it away from it, but it didn't. And then there was a third hawk that was just wheeling around the two of them. So that was pretty interesting. But we were afraid during July 4th that all the noise from the fireworks were going to do some damage. Apparently not. I don't know. Perhaps they're used to it by now. They're used to all the noises of the city or the peculiar noises that can crop up in the city. But it's really been something to watch, you know, these hawks living their lives so close to us. I mean, wow, it's a privilege to see them. But I sincerely hope they don't build a nest on our fire escape because that would be a little too much nature for me anyway.
Well, yeah, because they'd eat stuff.
Oh.
And then there would be pieces of dead squirrel and all around. Ooh.
Oh, man. When one of them had the possum, possums are pretty big. They're much bigger than squirrels. And I was like, please don't land on our fire escape with it. Please don't. Because it was having trouble keeping a grip on it. So it's like, yeah, that would be to call up the super and say, oh, excuse me. There's a dead possum on the fire escape.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure he'd respond to that.
Yeah, it's probably not in it's outside of his field of expertise, perhaps.
Sure. Speaking of this being the Ides of July, we will enter midsummer next Saturday morning, some hours before this program is scheduled to air. So this is our last program of early summer of 2023. And so that transition from early summer to midsummer will be at 1:17 a.m. next Saturday, July 22nd.
At this point, I should say that this is WBAI New York. The program is Back of the Book. He is Arpal Martin, and I am Radio's Pickles of the North.
So, the kiddies are out of school. Most of them are out of school. Some kids, unfortunately, have to go to summer school. Well, you failed this, that, and the other thing, so you're going to have to go to summer school or repeat the entire grade. So they just shove the kids into summer school. But most kids are out. And there was a piece in the Times a couple of weeks ago, and it's about children being bored. And a lot of people, a lot of parents, especially helicopter parents, really fill their kids' lives up with these appointments. It's like they're business executives who have this calendar, and they have to have a secretary to tell them, oh, now you have to go someplace else, and tomorrow at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, you got to go there and go here, and you have a meeting with blah, blah, blah. And these kids have almost that kind of schedule, even during the summer. And a lot of people, they really just take charge of their kids in such a way that the kid is basically managed. Their childhood is completely managed. Didn't happen that way when I was a kid. In the summertime, I mean, when I was a little kid, I didn't get to run completely wild. By the way, let me mention, I'm having a problem here with my throat, and I'm sorry that it sounds terrible, but there's nothing we can do about it. We're rushing to make a deadline. Even if I took an hour to do something about this, I might not be able to get my voice better. We don't have an hour. We hardly have 5 minutes to spare, but we got to rush to the deadline now. Anyway, so when I was a kid, you know, you would go out and you'd hang out in the street with the other kids, usually your kids of your own age, because the older kids don't want to hang out with you, and you don't want to hang out with little kids. So there's this age striation that you get from kids outside. And so we have different things happen. You can go to the park. You know, when you're little, you got to stick pretty close to home. But as you get older, you're okay. You can wander around out there. And, yeah, sometimes it can be a little bit boring. For some kids, it gets very boring. For me, it wasn't that boring because I said, oh, boy, now I can read. Because I read books like crazy. And it was science fiction books. And I'd go to the library and I'd get science fiction books out. I read everything in the main branch of the Brooklyn Public Library. Everything in science fiction, not everything in the whole library, every science fiction thing I could get my hands on in that library, I read. And this was something I did from the time I was about 9 until much later on when I was in high school. And so that's what I did. And so I wasn't as bored as a lot of other kids were because I could read about people ice skating in the canals of Mars and having galactic fights and space wars, all this great stuff that was, you know, just amazing. I was reading the anthologies of short stories, and that's where I ran into things that eventually became Twilight Zones, where there was a story called Peeksville, Ohio, and eventually it became It's a Good Life on the Twilight Zone. And, oh, that was very interesting to me because it was the first time something I had read ended up on TV. And I said, wow, I know what this is about. And so I didn't have all that much boredom when I was a kid. And they're saying here, yeah, let the kids be bored. It's natural. And they're saying in the article, boredom is an emotion. And one doctor, a Dr. Westgate, says, boredom is telling you that what you're doing right now isn't working, unquote. And I guess that's a way of looking at it. One of the things, though, if you're a bored kid, you start casting about for something to do. Now, sometimes some kids, you know, oh, I'm bored. What am I going to do? What they end up doing is, you know, setting fires or stealing cars or something like that, which isn't so good. Other kids start saying, ah, oh, gee whiz, hey, what's that over there? How does that work? And all of a sudden, you've got somebody who's going to become an engineer or a scientist. Another kid will look around and say, boy, we got a lot of different kinds of buildings around here. How does that building work? Now you got an architect that's going to start. Comes out of boredom. because we're hanging around and we got our brains running. You're not asleep and you're a kid, and kids, of course, have imaginations bubbling over all the damn time. And so, yeah, some thoughts will occur to you, and it can be very creative. You can have life-changing things happen while you're bored, and you get some ideas. Or maybe you'll decide to write something down, and that becomes your career 10 years later. So stuff like that can go on. And I remember at times being a little bit bored, and I would do various things and have fun. Also, boredom is a great springboard for masturbation. Yes, that's one of the great things. If you're bored, boy, I'm bored as hell. But since you're a teenage boy, you're hanging around, and it's not long before you get an erection. And you said, oh, well, here's a distraction from my boredom. And you decide to go someplace where nobody's going to see you do it, probably the bathroom, and say, wacka, wacka, wacka. And so, yeah, this is one of the great things. And during that time, you'll be able to do things like perfect your technique and make it all work out, and you'll become an ace masturbator by having been bored. Ah, there is an upside to boredom. Apparently, the New York Police Department is trying to collect the digital fingerprints of cell phones from people. Every cell phone has a unique 15-digit identification number known as its International Mobile Equipment Identity, or IMEI. If you have a cell phone, you can find out what its IMEI is by dialing *#06 asterisk on its keypad. We tried it with Pickle's cell phone, and it sure did work. So the police are really going after collecting these ID numbers. If they get a hold of your cell phone and it's on, they'll just type in *##06#, and they'll have your ID number. And once they have the IMEI thing, the police can figure out the location of a phone and track communications to it and from it. Say goodbye to any vestige of privacy in that case. Before the NYPD started doing this, only the National Security Agency was collecting these identifying numbers. Reportedly, police are being told that, quote, every person in custody must have their IMEIs for all devices in their possession recorded by their arresting officer, unquote. The ACLU is, of course, of the opinion that this is an illegal search and violates the detainee's protections against unreasonable search and seizure under the Fourth Amendment of the United States Constitution. They're probably right. People in custody are being tricked or coerced into unlocking their phones, or they're allowed to make phone calls on their own phones that allows the cops to grab the IMEI number. Oh, yeah, you can make a phone call. Here, have another phone call. Go ahead. Use your cell phone. Do this, you know, and then they grab the number off it. They're not being kind. There's something called the Riley decision, which is from a Supreme Court decision in 2014 on a case called Riley v. California, which held that law enforcement must obtain a search warrant to access data even in the phones of people who have been arrested. So the New York Police Department is breaking the law here. Not that that's a new thing. The pressure for all of this is coming, apparently, from the chief of crime control strategies, a guy named Michael LePetri, who is very high up in the NYPD hierarchy. Reportedly, one precinct commander texted to his officers, quote, all, I am encountering some resistance from some supervisors when it comes to obtaining IMEIs from prisoners' cell phones. Let me be 100% crystal clear. This is a mandate from Chief LePetri's office, and it must and will be done without making excuses, unquote. The precinct commanders are being checked on this, and they're liable to be disciplined if they don't cough up enough IMEI numbers. So what the ACLU is saying, police officers who observe the constitutional rights of people are going to be disciplined, whereas the ones who don't, they'll get, you know, promoted and treated better. And this is one of those things that's an erosion of rights, and you let some rights go and then more rights fall. It just, you know, it's like all erosion. It takes a bit and then it takes a bit more. And after a while, it's taken enough that like the entire side of a cliff falls down. And this is bad stuff. And apparently they've only started doing this relatively recently. Yeah, Big Brother is with us, all right. So a couple of months ago in the New York Times, Dennis Overby, who's a regular science writer for the New York Times, wrote a thing, a piece called If Dark Energy Brings About the End, What Then? And he talks about hearing someone at a conference say, there will be a last sentient being. There will be a last thought. And he got very saddened by this, he said, because he'd known about how things look like they'll work, but he hadn't looked at it quite that way. And he got very, very sad about it. And, you know, there's all this issue of how things go. I mean, first of all, every one of us is going to die. I'm going to die. You're going to die. You're going to die unless you listen to back of the... Oh, no, that's an old pitch we made for the program.
Happy Saturday, everyone.
So everybody, each of us is going to die. And also, probably, it looks like the universe is going to die at some point. And so everything will go away. All of the great works of literature, there's not going to be anybody around to read them. And on top of that, there's also the various possibilities about everything falling, and I mean everything, falling literally apart. There will be some kind of an end. One of the earliest ends is going to happen between 500 million and 1 billion years from now. At that point, the sun will have gotten warmer enough that it will begin to make it impossible to live on the Earth. The oceans will evaporate. The atmosphere will be blown away because everything will heat up. And what happens there is the atmosphere being warmer, and this could sort of happen a little bit now, the atmosphere being warmer, it will be bigger, it will stick out more, and the sun will be hot enough, and the solar wind will be strong enough that it will sweep away the outer parts of the atmosphere a bit at a time, and the more of the atmosphere that goes away, the lower the pressure will be. And that will allow the water to evaporate more. And here's erosion again. And the atmosphere will start to erode. And in that time period, between 500 million and 1 billion years from now, there will be no oceans. There will be no water on the surface of the Earth. And the atmosphere will be either totally gone or so thin that it won't be much of an atmosphere at all. Certainly by then, people are going to not be living on this planet. Even if you could dig down, it probably wouldn't work too well because the farther down you dig, the hotter it gets. So, you know, the old ideas of, well, we'll have an atomic war, but we'll all dig shelters and we'll stay down there and be okay. Nah, that ain't going to work. And it's also not much of a life. So we know that this planet is doomed. And one of the things people talk about is getting off this planet, getting humanity out into the rest of the galaxy and managing to keep humanity going. That's an interesting idea, but how the hell are you going to do it? All we have now are these chemical rockets. And the only way people can come up with an idea of how to go anywhere is, well, there are two things. One is go to the moons of Jupiter and see if you can settle on one of those. But even the biggest moon of Jupiter isn't able to have enough gravity to do anything. So you'd be digging holes and living in holes. The same if you went to Titan, the largest moon of Saturn. Still not going to be like the Earth. And so how do you do these things? Some people have suggested like space stations that we would put farther out in the solar system to kind of spin around up there and give us a false gravity, and we would continue there. That's really dicey, because all you need is one rock coming through and that thing's shattered. And right about now, I think it's time for us to do a station break. This is WBAI New York, 99.5 FM, broadcasting from a transmitter and antenna atop 4 Times Square, going through a new studio somewhere in downtown Brooklyn and originating in our living room somewhere else in Brooklyn. The program is back of the book. My name is R. Paul Martin. She is Radio's Pickles of the North. And you can find out more by going up to my website at glib.com, glib.com. You can also go to the official website of this radio station at wbai.org. The other idea, which has been used in a lot of science fiction stories, is the generation ship. Because unlike Star Trek, we really can't go faster than the speed of light. And it's very unlikely that anybody's going to find a warp drive anywhere. And so in science fiction stories, a lot of people are packed into a big, huge spaceship, and it flies off to find another planet for human beings to populate. And there probably are planets we could populate. Although it ain't so easy as you arrive and you step off. Well, here we are. First of all, what happens is it takes so long to get anywhere. You would have a destination you want to get to, and you could start out, and there are various means people have come up with whereby maybe you could get enough speed to kind of go along at, you know, a tiny fraction of the speed of light, but it would maybe take hundreds or maybe thousands of years to get to a destination. And when you got there, things might not be as peachy as you'd thought they might be. And of course, it's called a generation ship because the people who leave the Earth on that ship are going to die on that ship. And they will have their children who will live on that ship and die on that ship. Think about hundreds of years. Think about 1,000 years. How many generations do you get in 1,000 years? Well, you get like 40 generations in 1,000 years. Look at how much things change here on Earth in 1,000 years. Look at like England and say, what has happened there in 1,000 years? Well, the language is different. A lot of other things are different. And the culture is different. So the religion is pretty much different. And bigger changes would probably happen if you're not in a real world, if you're just stuck in some metal tube going through space. And, of course, then you have to hope you don't have some psycho just blowing the whole thing up. You have to hope that no space rock hits it, stuff like that. And so it's very unlikely we're going to get off here and really start humanity working on other planets. It's a nice thought. It's very unlikely. So we are looking at the end of history, the end of humanity. Among other things, human beings are evolving. Some years ago, one of the things that was coming up was, it looks like men are devolving. Men are there's something happening with men, and at some point, men won't exist anymore. What'll we do then? And of course, lesbian groups had answers to that. But the thing is, it turns out that's not what was going on. Deeper research has shown men aren't our genes aren't making it so we're going to disappear. The changes that are observed are evolution. Men are adapting and evolving to being in civilization. Originally, you had people, you know, living in the jungle with all the other animals. And in a jungle, you've got to really fight for everything, and it's tough. And oh boy, you know, a jungle is a jungle. And so that's how human beings were. And men who had come from prehumans, that we'd all come from prehumans, and they were just starkly animals. And you have them doing what they do, and they have to be aggressive and not necessarily nice. And the females of the species of some other primates, they are not treated well at all. And that's probably where we get the great tradition we have now, where in America, they're still saying, one of these days, we want to have the Equal Rights Amendment passed. And other people say, never, never. And that's going on. And so human beings were like that. And after a while, it got to be, you know, a little bit different because there were tools, there were things, there were villages. Eventually, cities happened. Cities mean civilization. And you have to have a certain structure of the society for a city to work. You have to have something like a police force. You have to have something where it isn't just people behaving like animals, where they just, I see that you have something there, I'm going to take that. There has to be some kind of reward for sacrifice and working. Otherwise, people aren't going to do it, and your city will collapse. All these kinds of things. By the way, the Ten Commandments come in here, and people say, oh, it's religious, and dog spelled backwards, gave it to a guy who climbed a mountain one time. Well, if you look at it, you cut out the first three parts, which are about the rabbis controlling the other people. You look at the other seven commandments. Those are rules to follow to keep civilization running. If you have it so that people just murder each other, higgledy-piggledy, sort of the way we have here in New York City these days, and not just here, of course, we see it all over the place, you're not going to have much of a society with everybody getting killed. If you have, thou shalt not steal. Well, if you're going to build something up and then somebody's just going to come and take it away from you, not only are you liable to be somebody who's going to say, well, the hell with this, and you won't strive to do anything, but you also might decide, hey, you know that other commandment there about not killing people? Bleep that noise, and you go out and you kill the guy who stole from you, and stuff like that. And also things about fidelity, adultery, you know, because otherwise you get a breakdown there, because it's very hard to have polyamorous stuff going on. I know people who swear by it, and it's, you know, the greatest thing ever. But for a civilization, it probably does not work. I mean, we've seen, like, the Mormons trying that, and it's, you know, polygamy, and it doesn't really work, certainly in the long run. And all of these kinds, so the Ten Commandments there are really about society and civilization, because by the time they were written, there were cities, and there had been cities for thousands of years. I mean, it's not like, you know, it all started right there. Some people think the entire Earth is 6,000 years old and they're out of their goddamn minds. But what happens in real life is that you have to have some rules. Otherwise, it falls apart. And so that's how that goes. Now, the thing with the thing is men are adapting to it. Men should be getting less likely to get arrested or shot because they're doing something like trying to kill somebody else or stealing things or getting locked up for a while. And so the men who are not getting locked up or killed early, they're reproducing. The guys who are really out of their goddamn minds, well, some of them reproduce, but not so much in general. There are exceptions to that. So men are evolving, which I know some women will find greet with great skepticism, and other women will say, oh, well, that's good news at last. But that's part of what's going on. So you if you have a generationship, it's going to have a hard time doing some of this stuff. Now, Overby is very concerned about, oh, it's all going to go away. And, of course, we all know that in 5 billion years, the sun will expand into a red giant and will, if not totally incinerate and atomize the planet Earth, will certainly make it a scorched rock with nothing at all on it. There will be no vestige of anything we leave on here. You could put up a solid titanium monument in the hopes that some space alien will visit the planet in 500,000 years and it will see that this is here and human beings existed. But when the sun gets really big and hot, that titanium thing is going to melt and may atomize with the rest of the planet. So Elverby is going on and on here. He's saying, oh, I'm very concerned about how all of this will happen. And then there's also the bigger idea. What if everything is successful? What if we have a warp drive? What if we did have that? We ain't gonna. What if we did have that? What if the generation ships really worked? Well, there's still a big end to all of that because things are changing everywhere. And he's thought about what should we do? How should we behave? And I've thought about this for years. And, you know, after the sun makes the Earth uninhabitable, if there are going to be people, they aren't going to be on the Earth. And then you're going to have things like possible proton decay. Atoms are generally made up. Every atom has to have at least one proton in it. A proton is a positively charged subatomic particle. In a hydrogen atom, it is the entire nucleus of that atom. And it's a single proton, and it's surrounded by an electron that flips around about it. And all matter that you know of, including you, protons are what are the main thing that keep it going. And if protons do decay, and this is a theory, the proton, well, its half-life is constrained to be at least 1.67 times 10 to the 34th years. That's a big number. That's a long time. Talking about 5 billion years from now, that's nothing compared to 1.67 times 10 to the 34th. If protons do decay, the universe will last for 10 to the 100th years if they do decay. That is, by the way, one Google of years, expelled G-O-O-G-O-L. It's a number, 10 to the 100th. And that number's been around for a long time before certain people expropriated it for the name of their search engine or big company. And there won't be much left of the universe if the proton decays. If protons don't decay, the universe may possibly last until 10 to the 10th to the 120th power. That's an exponent to a big exponent. And we're not going to be around then because at that point, there's no matter left anyway. everything will go moving out. There is this thing called dark energy, and the universe is expanding. And about 5 billion years ago, the expansion accelerated. And so it's all going out there. So there will be pretty much nothing, even if there isn't the big rip, which some people talk about, where the dark energy doesn't go from just pushing galaxies around, but actually gets down to the interior of the atomic nucleus and starts blowing other things away. Even if that doesn't happen, everything else will be essentially gone. So even if humans could somehow have survived in some form all of that time, it wouldn't matter because we are gone too. So the question comes up, should a person be good or bad, selfish or not? And the thing is, we have to figure these things out. And Overby is considering it, and he's saddened by it all. I'm not. This is what happens. I mean, when I die, for me, the universe will end. That's it. My ashes will blow through the streets, and that'll be the end of me. And the other thing is, you know, being good or bad, should we be selfish? And how selfish should we be? I mean, we're all selfish. We have to be somewhat selfish or we'll just die. We'll end up, you know, out in the street already and starving to death. And the thing is, how should we act knowing that it's all going to disappear? Now, some people are deluded into believing that they're going to go to this supernatural thing in the sky and stay there for what they call eternity. And oh yeah, and there'll be some supernatural being and it will all be wonderful because you'll be praying all day. So some people have that, but that's a delusion. So those of us who don't have that delusion, we have the quandary of how should I behave? Should I be a real son of a bitch? Because those kinds of aggressive bad people tend to get their way. Should we do that? Or should we say, look, I have a certain value system of my own, and I'm going to go by that, even if it doesn't mean I'm the ruler of the world or something. And that's sort of the decision we each have to make. How selfish do we want to be? We got to be on there. We got to be on the selfish scale somewhere. How selfish do we want to be? Do we want to be mean to people? Some people do. They just caught a guy, they say, killed people and buried them in Gilgo Beach in Long Island. He made a decision not to be nice to people, at least certain people. So this is something that we each have to consider, especially those of us who don't have a delusion of supernatural stuff to cling to. So, yeah, Overby, I think, is overwrought about some of this. But the thing is, we do have to each make a decision if we're atheists, if we're people who think that we are going to just end at some point and that everything will end. We got to make our own decisions, and it's much tougher than if you've got some great leader telling you what to do.
Well, I think that one thing that helps is the golden rule. That helps make life tolerable, which, of course, I guess Judeo-Christianity would say, do unto others as you would have them do unto you.
Yeah.
That's a pretty common, decent thing that can make life livable. I mean, you know, subject to change in certain situations, you know, if you meet some of those bad people who want to do really bad things because, hey, they don't care, you know, what happens to them or anyone else. So there's that. Also, you don't want your ashes in a coffee can on the mantle? You want it blown in the street?
Yeah, to hell with it. I don't care. I won't be bothered by it. But yeah, I mean, the deal is, even that is questionable. Do unto others as you would have. Some people don't. Some people say, well, no, why?
Yeah.
So there's that.
And one other thing that I wanted to ask you about is that I think that it's quite possible that our next generation or a couple generations from now, they're going to be AI. That's going to be the evolution of humans. And so they may be able to blast around, you know, the galaxy for a while. And I think that will be perfectly fine. And that's, you know, part of life.
That has, of course, been the subject of some other science fiction stories.
Yes.
And, yeah, that could happen. The robots could end up being what makes everything happen, and they don't have to eat, they don't have to drink, they don't have to sleep. They could shoot themselves off and say, okay, it's going to take 50,000 years to get over there. Okay, here we go. And that would work for those things. Amusing universe we're in, isn't it?
Well, it may not be the only universe, too. That's the other thing, so.
At this point, I should say that this is WBAI New York. The program is Back of the Book. She is Radio's Pickles of the North, and I'm R. Paul Martin. Oh, boy, we got a pitch here, and my voice is shot, and it hurts to talk, but we got a pitch a little bit, and oh, boy. Okay, this is WBAI, and we are listener-sponsored, and we need you to help us out. We need you to help us by calling 1-212-209-2950, and when they pick up at that call center, tell them you want to become a BAI buddy in the name of Back of the Book. A BAI buddy is the name we have for our sustaining membership program, and when you do that, when you become a BAI buddy, you say you're going to donate something to WBAI on a monthly basis. So you call up 1-212-209-2950, tell them you want to become a BAI buddy in the name of Back of the Book. Say Back of the Book or we won't get any credit for it. And then you give them your credit card or debit card number, and you also tell them how much you want to donate. You can donate $10 a month, $15 a month, $20 a month, more if you have it. And you also tell them what day of the month you want your credit card or debit card billed. You can also make a one-time donation if you please. So that's stuff we need you to do. WBAI has bills to pay, as always, and our revenue comes from you, the listeners. And if the listeners aren't giving us enough money, we are going to be in bad shape. I told you about the special LSB meeting at the end of July. Well, that's something to talk about. How the hell are we going to make ends meet? It's very dire at this point, and we need your help. We need your help. We need you to call 1-212-209-2950 and say to the person who picks up the phone, you want to become a BAI buddy in the name of Back of the Book. And if everybody listening right now did that, it would help WBAI tremendously. One of the things that happens is when people are regular monthly donors, that helps management to be able to plan what's going on. Otherwise, money just comes in sort of randomly and you can't plan how to pay bills. It's a big problem. So 1-212-209-2950. If you could please call us at that number, call the call center. You're not calling us. Call the call center at that number. That would help a lot. 1-212-209-2950. We need you. I'm choking here. To call that number now, and my voice is going to just be ended very soon. So 1-212-209-2950. Please call that number now, and we'll be very glad if you do that. That's been it for Back of the Book for this week. Coming up next is
Ecologic with Ken Gale, Donna Stein, and Sally Geller.
We're scheduled to be back here next week. Get ready for midsummer to show up. And above all, remember what that trying to figure out what to do until the universe ends Dormouse said. We'll be right back.
light in your head and dead on your feet. Well, another crazy day. You'll drink the night away and forget about everything. This city desert makes you feel so cold. It's got so many people, but it's got no soul. And it's taking you so long to find out you were wrong when you thought it held everything. You used to think that it was so easy. You used to say that it was so easy. But you're trying now. Another year and then you'll be happy. Just one more.
Hello, I'm David Rothenberg. I joined up with WBAI not long after Marconi discovered the wireless. If you tune in on any Saturday, that's the name of my program, you'll hear some good music, commentary covering politics, theater, movies, books, and a word or two about the criminal justice system. Actually, it's whatever's on my mind. And there's usually a guest or two to liven things up. Good start for the weekend, so I've been told. Saturday mornings from 8 to 10 a.m. Oh, and I often have tickets for Broadway and off-Broadway shows. You can get to see a play and support listener-sponsored BAI at the same time. I'm looking forward to your stopping by. I can hear you listening already.
Oh, baby, let's have a party.
Let's have a party.
Let's all begin.
Stand up, stand up. You've been sitting way too long.
This is Ralph Nader. You can now listen to the Ralph Nader Radio Hour on Saturday afternoon at 5 p.m., it'll be one of the least forgettable radio programs in your experience because we touch on subjects not covered by the mainstream media, the public media, and often the independent media. You can listen to this program on listener-sponsored WBAI at 99.5 FM, where it's broadcast and streamed at WBAI.org.
It ain't gonna happen until folks like you and me just stand up. Well, you've been sitting way too long.
Oh, step up.
You know what's right and you know what's wrong.
Rise up.
Don't let the system hold you down.
Funny, this radio hasn't been working very well the past few days.
Peter, where do you live?
I'm glad you asked me.
It's a secret place. Please tell me.
All right, I tell you.
I wonder whatever became of me.
Saturday. All Mixed Up with Peter Beauchamp.
When?
Saturday afternoon here on WBAI.
That should be time for our favorite program.
Yes, just about time.
What would you do if I went off the air?
We kill ourselves!
This week on WBAI Playhouse, a tragedy filled with madness, melancholy, and dark humor.
I am Salome, daughter of Herodias, princess of Judea.
Back, daughter of Babylon. Come not near the chosen of the Lord.
Salome by Oscar Wilde on WBAI Playhouse, Saturday evening, 8 p.m. right here on WBAI New York.
The next WBAI Community Advisory Board meeting is Sunday, July 16th at 1 p.m. The meeting is held by teleconference at 619-309-1058. The PIN number is 641-711. The WBAI Community Advisory Board provides input to our local station board from our community members about programming and station operations. And everyone is welcome to call and join in this CAB meeting. Again, the meeting is Sunday, July 16th at 1 p.m. The call-in number is 619-309-1058. The PIN number is 641-711. We hope you can attend.
Hello. This is Mike Pinder, co-founder of the Moody Blues.